144 times the Bible says, fear not. Turn to your neighbor and just say, don't fear. 144 times, fear not. Yet, restlessness and fear is gripping our land. Thursday on Thanksgiving, I got up and had my quiet time, did my walking, met a neighbor, and was able to share the gospel that Thursday morning with him, and got back and picked up the Pensacola News Journal out of my driveway and went in and got a little breakfast and sat down, and I opened it up and began to read. I opened and saw a puzzle on the second opening of the paper where you could color like children doing a deal. And I read the article, and it started with this. With all of the stress of the election and preparation for upcoming holidays, take a second to relax. And then it went on to say, use this puzzle with your children and relax. With all of the stress from the election and preparation for upcoming, I thought, well, that's good. You know, we're trying to help people. And I then went through and looked, and I got over to the editorial page and usually read. They are pretty good about having the liberal on the left and the conservative on the right, and they did that day. And then they have an editorial in the middle. The editorial from the News Journal on Thanksgiving morning, I believe taken from USA Today, started with these words. There's been much talk about healing and coming together as a nation. As if to say we are broken and stressed. I read on. I turned to Cal Thomas's article on the right. Cal Thomas started this way with these words. Race continues to be a major source of anxiety and division in America. I'm reading my hometown morning paper. The first three articles I read, stress, stress, fear, stress, fear, anxiety. Just the night before I had put the finishing touches on this message for this morning entitled Perfect Peace. And I said, Lord, the News Journal needs to read my sermon. Maybe they ought to just print that in the paper. We'd have to lie to say we don't live in stressful days, days of tension and restlessness. Paul said to Timothy to pray that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Isaiah, we're preaching in the book of Isaiah through November and all the way to the first of the year with selected text. This morning, we are reading from Isaiah 26 and beginning in verse number 1 where the prophet writes a song. I find a lot of these Old Testament preachers wrote a lot of songs. And here he sings again. Isaiah 26, verse number 1. In that day, what day? The day of the millennium, the day of the coming of our Lord. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. He said, get ready because we're going to sing a new song. And here it is. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Opens the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. Verse 3, a verse that we often quote. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Father we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He casts it in the dust. The foot will trample it. The feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. Verse 3, don't miss it. The steadfast of mind, you, O God, will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. The peace that God gives. And here Isaiah says that this peace comes and he depicts that peace as a strong city with walls of salvation and gates of righteousness. That we live in a city of peace. Now there are two kinds of peace or two phrases about peace I want you to see this morning. First of all is the peace of God. We all need the peace of God. Now the peace of God, get this, the peace of God is a tranquility of mind which the believer, if you're a believer, say amen. Amen. The peace of God is a tranquility of mind which the believer ought to experience as a consequence of casting all worry over on God. The peace of God, taking your worry, casting it over on God. And you should have this experience of peace of God being the consequence of casting all of that stuff, elections, family, race relations, all of that. You just take it in and cast it over on the Lord God, and he promises that he will give you the peace of himself. You take it, you got a burden this morning? Anybody got a burden? I'm telling you, you need to unload. Need to cast it over on God. He that is steadfast of mind, God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace. But there's not just the peace of God for the believer. There is peace with God. Mm-hmm. The peace that we have with God is a fixed condition. The result of an end of our estrangement from God. You see, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all turned and gone our own way. We are lost without him. But when we come to believe and we are redeemed, we are saved, and no longer are we estranged from God, but we are right with God, that is a fixed condition, and we now have peace with God. And friend, if you're scared of God this morning, you need to get saved. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't treat him like the man next door or some granddaddy upstairs. He's God Almighty. He's the sovereign God of the universe, and you honor and reverence him. And there is a holy fear that you have of God, but you're not running scared like he's going to get you. Because that estrangement has been bridged through Christ, and when you are saved, that is a fixed condition of peace with God. But now you need the peace of God when these burdens come and you cast them over on him. So much stress and restlessness in our world. And friend, these next 50 days, America is going to have more and more of it. There are factions, and they are at war. We dare not let those factions come to war inside the camp of Christ. Even if we differ in the way we ought to go about certain political things, we must rise above that, keeping our convictions, but bringing them to the feet of Christ. Loving one another and having the peace with God through salvation, and having the peace of God residing in us, because all of that junk, we cast it over on Him. Peace. Perfect peace. So it's that peace I want us to look at for a moment or two this morning. And there are two truths I want you to see regarding that peace in this text. Number one is what I call the source of perfect peace. God gives a perfect peace. He is, and we shall see it a little later as we get closer to Christmas, He is the Prince of Peace. Amen. He is the source of this perfect peace. Where does it come from? Look in your text in verse number 4. He says, "Trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord we have an everlasting," what's that next word? Rock. We have an everlasting rock, and we stand on that rock. There are three stones that I want you to see as the source of perfect peace. First of all is the rock of God's person. Hebrews 6 and verse number 18, when you find it in the Word of God, it tells us that there are unchangeable things which it's impossible for God to do what? To lie. We've taken refuge. We would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. God cannot, will not, and does not lie. That is the person of God. He is true, 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 true. He never lies. And that's the rock of His person. And you put yourself on that rock and you stand on that rock of the person of Christ, and He gives you perfect peace. You won't find that in any other person. You start trusting me and you won't have peace. You start trusting your mother and you won't have peace. Dear God, if you ever start trusting yourself, you're in a mess. You come to the person of Christ. You see, friend, when you come to Christ, that rock is not only a person, it's a place. We don't trust Olive Baptist Church. We meet here, we love it, we're a family, thank God for it. I've been in it all these years, and I just work here and worship here. But let me tell you, where Jesus resides is in the, where God resides is in the person of Christ, and the place of Christ is not in here. He's in me. I'm the tabernacle. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in you. He is the person and He is the place. It is the rock of God's person. That's where the peace comes from. You've got to come to the person of Christ and Christ alone. Trust nobody else. But not only is the rock of God's person, it's the rock of God's promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. And you find that His yea will be yea, and His nay will be nay. I'm telling you, He will give us the promises. In Him they are yes. Through Him He is our what? Our amen to the glory of God. Through us. Yes, sir. He's the amen. Olive Baptist Church needs to learn to say amen again. Every church does. We've started clapping instead of saying amen. Now, I'm not against clapping, but I am if you quit saying amen. Amen says so be it. Yes, sir. Count me in. I'm there. Amen. You hear somebody talk about the personal promises of God, you ought to shout amen. You ought to help the preacher. It'll wake somebody up next to you. You hear something you like, you ought to shout it out. Amen. Well, preacher, I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's what you ought to do. I'm telling you, it'll warm people around you. It'll be like you really believe what's going on. You're affirming what's happening. You say, well, that's not just the way I am. Well, get over how you are. Just give an affirmation. Amen. Well, we shout about everything else. We do. Well, we was right there in the tents of a ball game yesterday. I sat with my good friend Scott Dawson at the game. Come up there to a crucial point. And something happened. They had people all around me. They just putting their hands up like I didn't know who they were. You know, I said, it's high five, you know. I'm pure strangers. These people you sit around all day long. Well, wouldn't it be great to get in church sometime, someone would get saved and everybody just jump up. Oh, one good thing happened. I reached over and high-fived old Scott and hugged him, and he said, no kissing. I said, amen, that'd be bad to get that on tape. Two preachers up here, wouldn't it? I said, I know evangelists, y'all get a bad rap anyway, so we have to be very careful about that. I'm just saying that out of your innermost being, when the promise of God becomes real, it stirs your soul. He says, yes, be yes, you nay, be nay. Say amen to the promises of God, the rock of God's person, the rock of God's promises, and then the rock of God's purpose. His purpose is hallelujah. In Romans 8:28, you know this verse. You see it all the time. That we know that God causes which things? All things to work together for good for those who love God. He doesn't just work things together for good for everybody, but for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. You see, the purpose of God. I sent a text this morning to a young preacher. I was praying for him. And just, I believe the Spirit of God spoke into my heart and said to me, I'm going to do a fresh thing in this young preacher's life. And I sent him a text this morning. I said, I don't know what God's fixing to do, but God's about to do something in your heart. God's about to do something in your life in me. I don't know what it is, but I'm just telling you, I've just got just a word from the Lord for you this morning, and I sent him that text. I mean, it wasn't 30 minutes. I got back this word. I mean, it was just like it was just the word he needed. I don't do that every day. I don't even do it every week. But I just sense the purpose of God, and I needed to be a part of that purpose. And it wrought peace in my heart, but it wrought peace in his heart. Ephesians 1 and verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined. Yes, sir. God's got a plan according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. Not your will, not the church's will, not your family's will. He works it after his will, and he brings the purpose of God. So, friend, let me tell you, the peace of God comes in your life. The source of that is God's person, his promise, and his purpose. God's got a purpose for you. He's got something for you to be about, and he's promised that. And this is that source. But now, secondly, I want to move quickly. I want you to see not only the source, but there's a secret. There's the secret sauce of God's perfect peace, if you will. How in the world does this perfect peace come our way? Well, we see it right here in our text that the steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. There are two secrets to perfect peace. Number one, we must think on God. We must think on God. The steadfast of mind. Now that word mind in the Hebrew can also be imagination. The imagination, that you visualize and you see of God. He brings peace when we think on God. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we are to bring every thought captive to Almighty God. Every thought, we capture it for the Lord. Isaiah 40 and verse number 8 tells us that the grass withers and the flower fades. And he goes on to say in a verse or two before that, that the people are grass. The grass wither, the flower fades, but the word of our God remains. How long? Forever. Amen. It's forever. If you want to get peace, friend, you need to begin to read the Word of God. Get in the Bible. That's the source. Quit reading a thousand other things. Quit watching all this stuff on television and worried about what this commentator said and that commentator said. Quit reading all about and come back to the Word of God and find the bedrock promises of our Lord. And you will find, if you will think right, your mind will find perfect peace. You sent me on a trip. Liz and I, for our 25th anniversary, and we took it, and we went, and we left the first day of August this year. We were gone for 14 days, and I never turned on the news while I was gone. I got back, and something in me said, I don't think I missed that. So starting the 16th day of August, I just didn't watch the news. I got to September, and I didn't watch the news. I just decided I didn't need what they had to say. I got a little news along through social media, but I didn't watch one program, one commentator. You know, they're as dumb as I am. All they've got's an opinion. Lord knows I've got one of those. People will walk up to me, some of you from time to time, say, Pastor, can I have your opinion? I say, well, my wife says I always have one. And I probably do here. And you know, I just turned that off in August, September. Now, I fell off the wagon election night at 9:30. I voted and I went out, took my wife to dinner. We went downtown Pensacola and had a meal, came home. I got me a book, and I went to my office, and I read a book. I read a book on the Electoral College while they was counting votes. That's what I read on. Had a guy give it to me several months ago, and I just started reading. Had my phone sitting there, and a liberal popped up on my Twitter account. And he said, there is a path whereby Donald Trump could win this election. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And I fell off the wagon. I went to bed at 2:30. Well, I hadn't seen the news in 90 days. And all I got was a bunch of opinions. What I'm telling you, friends, is if you want to have peace of heart and mind, you've got to take every thought and let Christ capture it. Because if you are thinking wrong, your peace will fly out the window. But when you begin to think on God, let me tell you, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will remain forever. Forever. You need to spend time with God's word. I'm not telling you you don't read the news or commentary. I'm just telling you you need balance, and you need to be unbalanced, and you need to be unbalanced toward the Scripture rather than what the world thinks. You need to hear God more than you hear the world. And you'll find that will be the secret sauce of perfect peace. We must think on God. But not only must we think on God, we must trust in God. Because once we hear it, then we must stand on it. Look at it right here. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. Your mind, you've got to think on God because he trusts in you. You must trust in God. Some of you are walking through deep water right now, and you need to learn to trust the promises of God. You're never going to have peace unless you trust God. I want to give you three illustrations of that. Nobody walked in deeper water than Job. Well, if you've read Job, it was awful. But in Job chapter 13, verse 15, the oldest book in the Bible, Job, he said these words, "Though he slay me, God may kill me. Yet I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. He may kill me. I may die. But I'm telling you, I will hope in him." Friend, you got to learn to trust God. You got to learn to trust him. Think and then trust. Job did. And you must. Daniel. Old Daniel's in the lion's den. Oh, it was a tough night. I don't know if you've ever been in the lion's den or not. Probably not literally, but many of us been in there figuratively, have we not? Symbolically, you've been in that lion's den. It's been tough. They've been roaring all around you. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. Get that boy out of there. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him. Why? Because he had trusted in his God. And friend, you got to think right, but you got to trust God too. You got to cast your every care over on him. Job thought he's going to die physically. Daniel thought they was going to eat him alive. In the book of Acts, chapter 27, Paul is on that ship, you know, where there's a storm. And Paul said these words, "Therefore, keep your courage, men, for I believe that God, I believe God that will turn out exactly as I have been told." I believe God. I believe God. Just say those words together. I believe God. Just say that. I believe God. I'm going to just trust God. I'm going to choose to believe Almighty God. Amen. Friend, if you want perfect peace, you begin to think on God and you begin to trust in God. I read a story this week of an old English gentleman. Years ago, he was a political leader in England. He was walking through a very tough time. He said he was a Christian and he named the name of the Lord in his life. And his secretary came to him. It was a gentleman. And he asked him, he said, "Did God rule the world before we were born?" Well, what's the answer to that? Well, yes. Then his secretary asked him, "Will God rule the world after we're dead?" He said, "Well, yes." He said, "Well, why don't you let him rule your world now? He was ruling before you got here. He's going to rule when you're dead. Why don't you let him rule your world now?" See, friend, perfect peace will never come until you give up control. You got to cast it over on the Lord. Now listen to me right here. Listen. Perfect peace. Perfect peace is not stillness. Perfect peace is not just everything stops and it's still and nothing's going. Perfect peace is momentum without friction. It is when every cog is together as God says it should be. Most of us think peace, we just say, boy, nothing's going on. Friend, there is never a time when nothing's going on. There is always movement. But perfect peace is when you have movement without friction. And you're walking even in the middle of a storm. Perfect peace. What was it Jesus said? My peace I give unto you. He gives peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He gives the Spirit of Peace. Now I want you to look right here and I want you to listen. Some of you are not peacemakers. That's the reason your life's not blessed. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. You're friction makers. You're just always twisting something on somebody. Some of you do it with your tongue. Some of us do it with social media. And I'm telling you, God's called His people to be better than that. He's called us to be a peacemaker. Not that you don't have conviction. Not that you don't stand when it's time to stand. But there are times when it's just better to reach across and out than it is to try to drop a hammer. Last week, my wife and I went over to Fairhope a day and were shopping. Well, we were not shopping, but I mean, we were there. She was in the store. I'd never been to Fairhope with her shopping. Those people are brilliant. They have little benches for old men outside. Did you just sit everywhere? You even forget they're in there wearing the numbers off the card. I mean, and so I'm sitting there and on my phone, and they have great coverage so men can stay busy. And something popped up, and I said, bless God, I'm going to say something about that. I was just about halfway through, and I felt this presence on my shoulder. And I looked up and Liz said, I'm ready to go. I just slipped my phone in my pocket, and we were walking to the car. I took her by the hand. I said, God sent you out of there early. She said, what? I said, I was just about to be as stupid as I could be. I was just letting froth. I was fixing to say something I shouldn't have said, post something I shouldn't post. She said, well, what were you going to say? I said, well, I'm not even going to talk about that. I just confess my own sin. If it's against you, I'll confess. I ain't going to confess my sin to you. And I just hit cancel. Do you know, you shouldn't do it all the time, but when the Spirit of God quickens your heart, to hit delete will sometimes help you be a peacemaker. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Perfect. He whose mind is steadfast, the mind who is kept or stayed on God, He will give you perfect peace. Now here's what I wanted. I've been praying about how to just come to this conclusion today. And here's what I want us to do. If you are physically able, I'm going to ask you right now to slide out on your knees in that pew where you are. Now, if you can't do it, you sit there and just lean your head over. But if you can get on your knees, I want you just to slip out on your knees there. Just all of us. Just slip out on our knees today. Yeah. Just everybody on their knees. Now, whatever your burden is, I want you to tell it to God right now. Just cast it over on Him. What? Not somebody else's burden, your burden, your family's burden, whatever your burden is, just tell the Lord right now. Amen. Just give it to Him. I got one. I'm going to give it to Him.